So there's quite a diversity of students that are using Second Life. They come from all over Australia, however, they could be located anywhere in the world. And they're given many choices for their assessment tasks, and about a dozen of them have chosen to use Second Life. So within the two units, they have different tasks that they have to do. However, within the environment, they all work together and do everything together. So and then they go and do their own assessment tasks depending on what they are. Okay. It is part of, the students that are doing this are either grad deped, masters, double degree, and I actually have one or two third year BTeach or Bachelor of Education students. So a lot of different areas of study has been undertaken. Okay, the students that you see before you are actually the students that you don't see before you are very dedicated because within this course they're actually spending 2 hours a week coming online and having a session with me, and this is over and beyond what they have to do. It's for the love of it, they're wanting to learn a new tool, and they are really happy to be learning something that is so different than what they're typically learning to use in a teaching environment. So the 2 hour sessions are only voluntary, are voluntary, they only turn up if they want. Okay, the students are all education students. They could be studying primary. I've got ones that are doing English. I've got ones that are doing ICT, or double degree ICT education, English education. So high school teachers. We've got arts ones. We've got music. So quite a diverse range. These students that I've got have never used any virtual world, so it's all new to them. So they're actually learning this environment, but I believe that if you've learnt within one environment, it could be a cross-platform and they can actually go and use another environment for education if they believe it's a better portal. Okay, this is the first semester of using Second Life at the University of New England. So it started back in July this year, 2008. So I was fortunate enough to work closely with the coordinator of one unit and put the proposal to him midway through last semester, though I'd been planning it for well over 6 months before this, of using Second Life within his course. And in the other unit of study, I was privileged to be the unit coordinator of a course that hadn't been written. At the time, I didn't think it was a privilege. However, I was able to incorporate the component of Second Life into this unit. Now, as I say, it's a voluntary thing, so it was a component that people chose to use. Not everyone has. So obviously, I've only got 10 students, but that is really good for this pilot trial of Second Life. So students have choices in their study to use Second Life, and choices within their studies, and Second Life is one of those choices. So they have to be able to use it, and I've had students say that they want to use it, but they haven't had the broadband or computer capabilities, so they haven't been able to use it. However, they do know what they would have to do if they wanted to in the future. And at the moment, the University of New England hasn't opened up the broadband on campus to be able to use this. So no internal students can use it if they are on campus. However, internal students can use it if they are living off campus and have, like I said, the capabilities of their computer and broadband. Thank you. I think everyone has the same barriers. And our institution can open it up. We just have to explore whether it's a good idea to do so. That's right, Joe. Exactly. Okay, firstly, before sessions began, I encouraged my students to go in world and learn as much as they could, such as walking, talking, teleporting, flying, and trying to discover what they could so that it wasn't me teaching them how to use the environment, because I didn't want that to be the focus of our get-togethers. And this way, I wouldn't be teaching them basics on in any of the lessons, hopefully not anyway. So, as I said, all good plans, however, they can come undone. As I just said, all good plans. I had students that wanted to use the environment, signed up with their avatar right in the middle of our very first lesson. So we have lessons that go 7 till 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night. And about 8 p.m, one of them signed up, sent me an email saying, oh, this is my avatar's name, can I come along? And for them, I think that first initial introduction where they were thrown deep in the middle of what we were doing and hadn't done any exploration was very unusual and probably a bit scary for them. So that's why I wanted them to learn beforehand. However, like I said, all plans come unstuck and they don't get organised. And these are things that I'm learning to overcome for next time. So I'll break up what we've been doing in our sessions into weeks, and there've been 6 weeks today. And at the end of, oh, I was going to say each student can talk about what they've done, but like I said, they're not here, so that's okay. Yes, Joe, that's right. Build on what we learned, exactly. Are there any comments or questions so far? Yes, Jude, but you were our second week or third week, so they were really experienced by then. That's right, Michael. What I actually want to do, I have a website, and I will lead them to that before they start so that they can actually learn the how-tos and all of that and have all that information that they should hopefully read before starting. Their own objectives, of all my students, there was one that had been there before, the rest were all new, so they have no preconceived ideas. All they know is it's something different and they wanted to explore because they want to be, these are our teachers of the future and they want to be the ones that are coming in with innovative ideas. So I don't think they really had objectives. Yes and no. Some of them send me emails asking about information, how they can do things. Like I have one student that wanted to bring all her students that she teaches in to do a performance. And so we had to discuss that, the pros and cons of doing that sort of thing. So, yes, they do talk to me out of world occasionally, but mostly they... Any questions they have, they ask when we're online. So are we right to go, or are there any more questions? Okay, we'll keep going. Okay, the first session was a get-to-know-you session. This was the first one. We hadn't met each other. I had talked to all of them individually, but they hadn't met each other. So what I did was... It was just a get-to-know-you session for about an hour and a half. And they came to what I call Education Online Headquarters. It's a little area that I've created for our students to meet and discuss things, and a place that they can go and know that other students from UNE could possibly be there when they're online. And it's just a spot for them to meet and continue on with their exploration of Second Life. And it's where we always meet on a Wednesday. So I build it for my students so that they could use it for their or throughout their studies, but beyond if they wish. It'll be there for them to use whenever they want, which I believe is a good thing, that they've got a spot where they know that like-minded students could be that they can go and talk to, and they've got to know each other too. It's a beachfront block. At the beachfront is my little bit of paradise, you know, a bit like this, palm trees, the water, all that. It's beautiful. When you live in Armidale and you're 200 kilometres from the beach, that's what you want. And I've developed things like gazebos, fires, trickling water, fish, dolphins, anything that you'd like at a beach, it's basically there. In the sky is a two-story meeting place. There's on the bottom floor, it's designed to be an outside area with log fires, actually very much like this, log fires, picnic benches, a little stream with fish, flying fish that jump out of the water, a little bridge, cushions to sit on, so just a nice relaxing area. Then upstairs it's a little bit more formal, lounges, bookshelves, chairs, coffee tables, and a little conference area, which I've cornered off. And interestingly, it's where all my students tend to go. I will bring them somewhere and be sitting somewhere, and they'll all go, let's go back up there. So they like that spot. Don't know why, but they're drawn to it. So the first session, like I said, was a get to know you and a bit of troubleshooting. We were ironing out issues that people had and trying to solve the problems. And it lasted for an hour and a half, and then we went shopping for freebies, which was interesting because one of the students had green hair and wanted to change it. And the whole time he kept going, it was a guy. He wanted to go shopping. As soon as I mentioned that there were free clothes and things like that, let's go shopping, let's go shopping. That was amazing, a guy. So good to see. So we went shopping and found dresses, shoes, Darth Vader outfits, wings. Everyone was happy. Good on you, Joe, because I don't like it myself. I do on Second Life, though. Okay, any questions or comments about so far? Week one, pretty informal. Now, I like Second Life shopping. I don't like real life shopping, which I think that's what you're saying, Joe. Yeah, too time consuming. Okay, we'll go on to week two.
I was going to say, I agree, Jasmine. You can't modify things in store like you can in Second Life.
No, in Second Life, everything fits just perfectly.
Exactly. So satisfying.
Actually, it's interesting, Aristotle, that you said that you're getting a cramp. I have a student that will not sit still and does walk around, and they say, I just can't sit still, which I find really funny because avatars can sit still, which, yeah. Yes, I think sitting still, even if it's an avatar where it really isn't affecting us, we've still got to move. That's right. Okay, we'll move on to week two. Okay, again, basically the first hour was spent discussing issues, brainstorming, and solving all the problems of the world as you do. Now, we went to the University of Hamburg's Island with Type McMillan. He's a lecturer at the University of Hamburg in Germany, in IT and is the coordinator of Virtual Worlds for the university. And at the time, he was on, I don't know, seconding, I guess it was, to Curtin University in Perth for 3 months. And when I had him as a guest lecturer, it was in his last 3 weeks of being in Australia. So it was very convenient for him. However, when I have guest lecturers, they come on at 8 p.m. Australian time, and that is actually about midday in Germany. So it's not too bad a time for him anyway, if he was in Germany. But as it was, he was at Curtin 2 hours behind, so he was our first guest lecturer, which was excellent. And it was interesting for our students, their very first lecture, they got to go overseas. Yes, time is very tricky in SL. There's people in the US I would love to have as guest lecturers, but it's about 3 a.m. when we meet for them, and just I don't think it's going to happen. So Todd showed us around his campus, and firstly we looked through their main building, which is basically a replica of one of their major buildings in at the University of Hamburg. However, the inside is a little different. They have made replicas of sections on the inside, but parts were changed as there wasn't a need for all the original content. So we were shown a disc that is a map of the university where all projects are taking place within the University of Hamburg in Second Life, and there are a lot of people there that are actually using Second Life at the University of Hamburg for different projects. So Todd just showed us a couple that he's been working with. So Todd took us over to the two projects that he's been developing with his students, and they built from scratch using building and scripting skills. And as I said, his students are IT students, so they can actually do these building, which I think myself is mostly graphic artwork type things or skills, and scripting, which is obviously computer skills. Yes, they sure do. It's a great spot for graphic artists. Okay, the first place we went to was a bottle factory. So it's built inside a transparent bottle, and you can fly through the glass to make it nice and easy to get to. It's also easy to fall out of, but that's another issue. The floor wasn't transparent, so you could actually stand. The bottles were on a conveyor belt, just like in a real factory, and they're all going round in a circle through lots of different portals. So the future development of the factory, Tyke wants the students to design it so that they can implement a system as if it was a real factory. So it's a project that's not quite complete, and he would want students to go in and conduct quality control on the bottles to see if bottles were broken, they would take them off the conveyor belt, just as you would in a real factory. So the students would see the process when there is a faulty bottle. So let's say there's a cracked bottle, they would have to take it off. So it's a little bit of a mix with an economics class. The other project, that one. So what happens with this is that they see if a bottle's broken, what happens to all the rest of the bottles if you have to stop and take a bottle off? What happens to the continuation of the conveyor belt, the bottles going, stacking into cases? So as if it was real life, if there is a faulty one, it slows everything down. So the other project that he has was designing a dockyard, and he had, I think it was 4 students, I could be wrong with that. They were to go in for 5 hours, and they weren't allowed to talk with each other, but they had to design a dockyard. So Hamburg's built on a port where there are lots of dockyards, and so he's trying to replicate something that they were familiar with. Hand in hand with this project was a pharmacy that orders goods. Okay. Yes, it is great, Joe. Very. So they had a pharmacy that orders their supplies, and this starts the whole process. So when the goods are bought, they go on a ship. The ship comes into the dockyard, puts the goods onto storage. They're unpacked and delivered to the pharmacy eventually. That's what's meant to happen. So the dockyard has a system of getting goods off the ship, transferring them via forklifts to a conveyor belt, and that takes them to the storage area. Then the dockyard is designed to show that students that if the stored boxes aren't dealt with, there's a pile up and the system breaks down. So when we were there, there were boxes overflowing everywhere, which was great because there weren't students there to make sure the boxes were unpacked and given to the pharmacy. So again, a little bit of economics coming into that. So Tyke has many projects happening with his students, and as he has IT students, he's got lots of options, which, you know, Second Life lends itself to. So that was very interesting. Any questions or comments on our journey with Tyke?
I'll jump in and say that just sounds so inspiring to have been able to go and join in and share with him. And I think for me, what it really reflects is what Second Life has been like for me too, where there are amazing educators who will invite you to be part of their project and share what they're doing with you and let you bring your students to their space and all those sorts of things. And it really illustrates that you don't have to build a big build like Joe Cady or build a pharmacy experiment like that to still bring your students to, you know, spaces and have them engage in those sorts of things. So following on from what Peggy said in her session, ask, and often people will share.
That is so true, Joe, so true. Okay, week three. This might be very familiar with someone here. Okay, as with all our weeks, we begin the first hour with troubleshooting, brainstorming and discussing lots of different things. Each week I do pose a question or statement for the students to respond to. I just want them to start discussing issues and thinking about different things and listening to what others have to say. So then we came to Jacadia, and we're privileged to have Hey Jude, who's sitting with us, to tell us about what she's doing in Second Life. And if I get it wrong, Jude, just butt in, that's okay. So Jude, firstly, we went to St. Joseph's Auditorium, where Hey Jude presented a few slides and told us a bit about our future students, the future ways of teaching, shifted learning and the flat classroom project. So if you want to know about any of that, have a look on the web or ask Jude. Yes, Jude will be one of the presenters here and an organiser. Okay. All right, and so Jude was saying that her colleagues aren't just from within her school but all around the world, and she liaises with people from everywhere. The flat classroom project. No, that's right, Joe. Chipney, do a search on the website. Or Jude will be very happy to tell you about it. So Jude, she pointed out the Second Life, you can relax and learn at the same time. And there was a lovely slide that she had of herself and Joe, where Joe was actually alone and they were having an in-depth conversation. And that was interesting, in it, especially for the students that probably hadn't seen that. Now, that's a big kitten. Okay, Jude also said that she likes to use virtual worlds and that they're an extension of Web 2 technologies. I'm sure you do, Joe. Jude is using Team Life through a private group of islands called Schoolaborate, which is an Australian group, which is an open group Second Life but for teachers. So then we went to the Mushroom Patch, and students often like to sit and discuss things there. Oh, thank you, Jackie. People will be pleased with that. Then we went to Jacadia's Art Gallery, and as I said right at the beginning, I had some students that were art students or art education, so they were fascinated to go around there. And they met Jo, and she was initially as a cat, a little cute little yellow pussy cat, and she met the remaining students that weren't running around. And that was interesting because the students hadn't met anyone who wasn't a human avatar, so they were aware that they existed but hadn't met anyone and talked to anyone that was actually in another form other than human. So one of our students went on to explain to Jude and Joe Kay about how he was using Dragon naturally speaking within Second Life. That's good, Joe. So one of my students, he speaks into his computer and it types all his comments for him. So he is using Second Life and not typing, which is... And so with our students at the moment, I only introduced voice last week, they've been typing, and so he's been using Dragon naturally speaking and it types the text for him. So that's a really nice thing to be able to use. So it was getting rather late at this point, about 14 minutes over, and it was time for everyone to go to bed. It is absolutely a fantastic option for students with disabilities, Joe, and I'm going to actually talk about that with our fourth week, which we're coming up to. So are there any questions or comments before we go on to our fourth week? Thanks, Jude. Program is called Dragon Naturally Speaking. You have to program it to take in your voice, and I don't know how he's actually set it up to go in Second Life, but I'll find out and I can let you know if you want. I wasn't using Dragon, my student was. He was talking to you, Jude, on that evening, using voice, which is very interesting. Okay, on to week four. Someone want to say something? Okay,
on to week four. I was just going to jump in and say that I think that the adaptive tech that's starting to emerge in Second Life is really interesting, and that's one of the first I've heard about people, you know, that Dragon naturally speaking was possible, but I don't know many people who've successfully made it work in Second Life, so it's fantastic to hear that that's happening. But it also really points to some interesting development that's happening around using adaptive tech like the Wii remote to actually control your avatar. There's also a fantastic project around using webcams to control your avatar. So that there are all sorts of opportunities for us to actually get out of our chair and use Second Life in a more immersive way, but also lots of ways for students to actually, who have either, you know, physical disabilities and things like that, to be able to get into Second Life and move an avatar around and really experience, you know, something that's quite freeing without, you know, the limitations of the mouse and the keyboard so much. And a really interesting area of development.
It sure is. And this guy, he says he can type. He's actually a lecturer in another institution, but he prefers not to because this works for him. He's not a fast typer. He can speak normally and it does everything for him. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's definitely fantastic.
Okay, we'll move on to week four. So, again, we spent the first hour at Education Online, and then we went off to the University of Torino. So this was an amazingly interesting evening. The University of Torino is in Italy, and they have been using Second Life to teach their students this semester. So they've been developing it for well over a year, and they've developed a really great teaching space. However, it is very traditional. They have multiple open-air lecture theatres where they hold lectures. When visiting, you can view videos, which are viewable from YouTube if you don't want to view them through the Second Life portal. However, they don't actually display that there, so... Yes, in Italian. They don't display that the options to look at these videos are in YouTube. They told us when we went to the lecture, which was interesting because we had all our people watching videos in Italian that were streamed individually to our computers, and the lag was amazing. At night, it was an interesting evening. Yeah, big eek.
I think that actually points as a facilitator, and you know, we've facilitated a lot of events here on Jocadia, and I do a lot of that sort of stuff. And what I've learned is that if you're going to use video, that's great. In, you know, 9 out of 10 cases, it might work. But you should always be prepped with the web-based alternative that you can send people to, so that when Second Life lags out with stuff like streaming media, that you don't have too many problems. And I've experienced that you know, some of the US-based sort of facilitators just don't realise that, because in the US, media is streaming quite nicely, and they don't see the same problems with lag that we see in Australia. So as a facilitator, you've got to have tested all that through and you know, have some alternatives ready for your students when it fails.
Absolutely, and I think the same with Europe. They have wonderful broadband capabilities, and they don't have those problems. And where we went, anyone could go and click on and view the video. So we weren't the only ones there. There were other people there at the same time. So other than our 10 to 12 people, there were other people streaming video, and it was very, very laggy. So, consequently, many people crashed several times that night, and they couldn't understand why, and I kept having to say, it's because even though you're not watching the video, other people are, and was making it very slow. Second Life, a bit retarded, is that what you're saying, Aristotle? You're right, Aristotle.
Yes,
Australia,
yes, way absolutely.
Yes, hopefully. You know, I've read an article that says in 5 years the broadband capabilities will be 7 times, I think it was, or 3 times as better than what they are now, but we've still got to wait. Okay, moving on. So there was a language barrier, and we kept losing everyone. Even though they said, follow us, and they did walk, which was lovely, we kept losing people because of the lag. They would walk off. I'd always try to come up the rear, but people weren't, their computers weren't responding quick enough. So other than being logged out half the time, they weren't able to move where they wanted to, and yes, it was just interesting. It was a session of rounding up students all night, that one. So one of the staff members of Torino has a disabilities unit on the land, and he's designed the building as if it was in real life. He has a registration desk, wheelchairs, toilets, wide lifts to cater for beds, sleeping quarters for those who need somewhere to sleep. It was all very strange. So the question was put to our guest lecturer as to why. Why do you have these facilities when you really don't need them in Second Life? So the building was designed for people with real disabilities with disabilities in real life to go there and register. So it was a real registration area for the people from the University of Torino or any other people with disabilities to register and feel comfortable and have a natural environment. That was their intent. So our guest lecturer is profound, or in this case, he's profoundly deaf and has a speech impediment. So we started talking about dragon naturally speaking, and he was very interested in it. However, his co-presenter just did a quick IM to me, instant message saying that he wouldn't be able to use it because he wouldn't be able to train dragon because he can't really speak. So that was interesting. He was very interested in dragon naturally speaking, but he knew that it would be for other people, not for himself. He wants to make Second Life easier for other people with disabilities because it's made it nice and easy for him. So my students knew that he was deaf, but not to what degree. So they found it absolutely wonderful that he was able to present on a level playing field, and he wouldn't be able to do that in real life. People would think, oh, you know, you're deaf, or, you know, you can't speak properly. They would treat him differently. But in Second Life, they thought he was the lecturer, and that's exactly how they responded to him, and it was excellent. And like I said, he was very interested in how dragon naturally speaking was being used. He was extremely interested to know why someone would use it if they didn't have a disability. And I guess because this is his focus in life, because of himself, he couldn't understand why someone would want to use something like dragon naturally speaking when they didn't have a disability. And we were trying to tell him it was just easier for him because he didn't want to type. So I guess his focus at the time is people with disabilities, and he wants to tap into all those people out there so that they can use his services. So if you have people with any disabilities, the University of Torino is very happy to talk to you. And it's only an 8-hour time difference. They're 8 hours behind us. Okay, again, it was getting late and the two guest lecturers had to get back to work because they were doing this presentation in their lunch hour, so it was time for us to go. Yes, he would love to do a public chat. I don't know that he would want to use voice though, so probably don't even suggest that to him, but in text he would be very happy to help, I think. Okay, any questions or comments? I will move on to week 5. Okay, this was a chill out evening, mostly because I wasn't available until about 1.5 hours into the session, or 1.2 hours. I had told them I wasn't going to be there, but I did make it for the end. And I was actually going to get my students to tell you what they did because they were meant to be here. But I do believe that they met at Education Online headquarters, and Joe, you'll like this, you inspired them to try on different skins so that they would become dragons and things like that. So I believe that they became dragons, Darth Vaders, lots of things like that. Because I noticed in the chat dialogue that, you know, they were zapping people and things like that. I'm not sure what they were trying to do. Maybe, I don't know, try out their lifesavers or whatever they're called, lifesavers. Well, that's right, and they were immersed. And, which is interesting because after that they went off and did some Tai Chi. They needed to relax. And then after the Tai Chi, they went to meditate. And that's when I came on, they were meditating. Well, that's right, Aristotle. I think that's probably right. In fact, interestingly, I sent them all a message what I wanted them to do when I wasn't there. And when I got there, I said, okay, you know, give me your note cards and all of that. And they're going, what are you talking about? They hadn't done any of the work, but that didn't matter. Incidental learning is exactly what was happening, that's right. They did teach each other a lot, and because, like I said earlier, one of the students was to use in Second Life. She had a lot to help with the others, at least take them to the landmark of where they all ended up, which she thought was a really nice place.